Atareta Pōnanga, who was a prominent Māori activist in the 1980s and Aotearoa's first Māori woman diplomat, died last week after a long illness. Moana Maniapoto, broadcaster Moana Maniapoto, has posted a tribute to Atareta, and she joins us now. Kia ora.
Kia ora, JC.
Do you remember when you first came across Atareta and what you made of her?
Yes, when I think back to the mid-80s, which is when I would have seen her on television, she was one of the few Māori voices speaking out. Back in then, we didn't have iwi radio or Māori television itself, so she was quite courageous. She was very beautiful, very regal, kind of frosty, didn't smile much. And that probably intimidated a lot of people, especially when she started talking about Māori sovereignty and nationalism. So I would look at her and think, whoa, gee, she's quite powerful. And then when I met her in real life, you know, I was slightly intimidated by her.
Yeah.
Very intelligent woman.
There were a couple of things she said in the 80s that really sort of, well, they were bait for media, really, weren't they? Describing Pākehā as the product of riffraff and the flotsam and jetsam of British culture. I mean, that sort of thing would have really trolled some people in the 1980s.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that, Jesse, was that was said at a conference in Australia on colonial heritage. So, you know, when you look at the context, it made perfect sense. And I mean, particularly in Australia, where their heritage is a little bit conflict-related, I'd say. so that one just totally, it like blew up. And I mean, she was pretty much vilified, because I think those comments were picked up in the New York Times. And then I remember, I was just looking back, that there was some discussion in Parliament where the Minister of Māori Affairs, Kura Wetere, was asked to denounce those comments and his government from those comments, which he did. But this was a kind of a time when Māori were railing against assimilation, and a number of other highly respected leaders like Peter Tapsor, who was a former MP, and Hirini Mokomead, they came out in support of, you know, the sensibilities behind her comments, and, you know, just that the fact that she'd kind of popped the bubble on assimilation didn't make her top of the pops back then.
and those sorts of remarks, well, you get remembered for them, right? Sometimes at the exclusion of everything else. But she did a lot of work to serve the community too. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. So, when I met her, she was a member of the Northern Clerical Workers Union under Sid Jackson. He was kind of the Malcolm X of New Zealand. He was pretty much hated as well. God, he was a wonderful man, so articulate. and he used to say that, you know, there's nothing more frightening than a good-looking, arrogant, lippy native. So he led the Northern Clerical Workers Union, and Atareta was an educational officer there. And then her two colleagues were Tau Henare and Willie Jackson, who both went into Parliament. So Willie used to always laugh about that because, you know, him and Tau wouldn't describe themselves as Māori nationalists. But the four of them were all working for a union that was 90% Pākehā and mainly women. And, you know, they were great advocates for these office workers and very popular. And Atareta was a member of the Auckland Māori Council, which was very influential. It had people on it like Dr. Ranginui Walker and Atareta's husband at the time, Patu Hohepa, who was a professor up at Auckland University, Te Whai Harawira. So all these people made a big difference in that landscape in the 80s. And she went back to the East Coast and was highly active there with Te Runanga o Ngāti Porou. I saw that she stood for the Māori Party in 2005. She got pretty close too to Parekura Oromia. And she spent 9 years working on the Gisborne District Council as you know, the only, if not the only, one of the few Māori voices there. So a lot of people down the coast remember her fighting on that.
And then some time in foreign affairs too.
Well, yeah, I think that's where she kicked off, Jessie. I remember that she was, you know, the first Māori woman in foreign affairs. There weren't that many Māori in there. There was a guy called Tia Barrett, who I remember meeting in France once, Edema Kenare, maybe Witi Ihamaira. He was a diplomat at one stage. but she had a little parting of the ways from foreign affairs. I'm not quite sure whether she left voluntarily or was pressured or what, but probably part of her politicisation, hanging around Patu Hoepa and others, she described it as alien affairs after a while, for treating Māori as the, quote, brown ethnic icing in a culturally deficient white cake, unquote.
She had a way with a phrase, didn't she?
Didn't she? You know, I'd have to practice that one for quite a while. Yeah, but when I got to know her, because she did, I was talking with my family recently, and I go, oh, yeah, she's so beautiful. She didn't smile. You know, she had that kind of demeanour. When I got to know her, she's quite a shy person in a way. She's very confident about her politics, but had a very old school manner to her. You know, she loved serving breakfast and on, you know, beautiful china plates. And her dad was a big wig in the army, I think. She came from, you know, an army background. She was educated in Syria and in Israel, so that was kind of interesting.
Again, yeah. she made headlines again in 2012, this was not for the best reasons. She was struck off as a lawyer. No. Do you know what happened there? It was for misconduct.
Yes, that's what they struck her off for, misconduct, and the allegation was that she had forged signatures. My understanding is that she was involved in a number of treaty claims, and in 2008, that was a cut-off date for all historical treaty claims to be filed. So after 2008, that was it. And so there was just this deluge of claims. I think she was involved in about 35 of them. You know, they're all around the country. So she admitted to forging signatures, but the tribunal said that it was clear that she wasn't gaining anything financially or otherwise from that, but they still struck her off despite the fact that she had even presented medical evidence that, you know, she had health issues. And not long after that, she had a stroke and her health deteriorated. And from what I understand, she had quite serious dementia and was hospitalised for many years. So it's, you know, it's really a tragic. And I'd hate for her to be remembered for that, for 2012. And I think, Jessie, that a new generation now should remember that there are people out there that, you know, they spoke out when it was difficult. You know, and so, yeah, so I wanted to share that.
Yeah, you were a bit surprised by the lack of media coverage given to the news of her death, so I was really keen to get you on to share your memories of her. And I guess what can we learn from her life?
I think courage is something that, you know, she spoke out at a time when there weren't many platforms. There weren't many platforms for Māori to speak, and she spoke very strongly and unequivocally. And the same kind of messages still resonate now. I think in many ways New Zealand's come a long way, that we can have these conversations and everyone doesn't, you know, most people don't fall apart and start howling and carrying on. There's still a few fragile ones out there. But you just, you know, at the time, you kind of think, wow, you know, you said that, boom. And it started a conversation, particularly among Māori, because it wasn't like she got a whole lot of united love back for making statements like that. And Sid never either, you know. He was he was vilified and many times. So you know, it takes a lot of guts to say things and to kick that conversation and to carry it on. So I just wanted my son's generation to remember some, you know, people who did that.
Great. Well put, Moana Maniapoto on the life of Atareta Poananga. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jesse. I really appreciate it. Kia ora.